Yeah.
Yep.
Shit. All right,
there we go. Thank you. This is The Spec, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Welcome back, everybody. It's a Thursday evening, 8 p.m. My name is Sam Derringer, and welcome back to The Spec, as always. And today, I got a very, not just one very, two very, very special guest, Mr. Henry Blickenstaff. Henry, how you doing today? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Henry, I'd like to call Henry an OG. He's one of the earliest friends going back to freshman year. So it's honestly been a long time coming. I've been wanting Henry on the show, so I'm glad to get him on. We're gonna have a great time tonight talking about a lot of different things. How you doing, first of all? How's midterm season going? You doing all right?
I'm doing well. I'm hanging in there. It's a lot with exams and newspaper stuff, so
yeah, fair
trying to stay locked in, but it's pretty hard.
And we'll get into a lot of that stuff in a little bit, because Henry is a very busy bee these days, as we all are. And this is something I do at the beginning of every show for those that have listened, is for guests, I always ask, where's home for you? What was your upbringing like? Where do you call home?
I was born in Chicago, but I've lived in Evanston, Illinois my entire life, which is just, if you drive north of Chicago, it's the first suburb you hit. It's on the lake. Lived in the same house for almost my entire life. Haven't moved around that much. Just been in the same community. Went to, you know, all the public schools and, Yeah. Cool. It's been really, really good because my family all lives, or at least my mom's side of the family has lived around the area for a long time. So it's really nice to be around them. And now my other grandmother has moved to town as well. So it's a nice scene. You get to be around everybody.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. And so for somebody, again, I'm all coming from what people are telling me, because I've never been to Chicago before. I've never experienced what Evanston, Illinois is like, what that whole lifestyle is like. For somebody who has never been, like myself, if you could pick like a few words to describe Chicago and what that's like, what would you say? The general area?
I can describe Chicago in 3 words.
Go for it.
Sorry, 4 words. Excuse me. Better than New York.
Oh!
I know you told me not to defame anything, but I think I... I'm mostly kidding, but it's a great city. You know, it's got the same big city vibe as New York, but maybe a little less kind of hassled, if you know what I mean. A little more laid back, not quite California laid back, but just a little more chill kind of vibe. And you know, there's really no shortage of things to do. We have some of the best museums in the world. We have Wrigley Field, which best sports venue in the world.
Yeah.
Also might be some defamation in Boston radio, but
it's okay. I have the same feelings.
Opinion.
You know, we go Boston and New York. There's a similar dynamic, I feel like, although we're a lot smaller. We go back and forth with New York as well. But anyway, you kind of got into it a little bit. You're talking about Wrigley. You're talking about things to do in Chicago. What would you say? Would you say if for someone who has one day and can only do one thing, what's the thing?
One day.
What's the thing they need to do?
One day is hard. Well, the first thing you need to do is be there in the summer because Chicago in the summer is pretty hard to beat. You know, just nice weather, and you got the lake there. You can do pretty much anything. But I would probably go to a Cubs game if I had one day, and then maybe go to the beach afterwards. Not everybody knows that you can go to the beach in Chicago, but you can.
What are the beaches like there? Because I don't think when I think of Chicago, I know it's like right on on one of the Great Lakes there, but for some reason, beach isn't the first thing that comes to mind. So what is that like? How does it compare now that you've been to some of the beaches over here? How does it compare to
I mean, the beaches over here are different because you can't, I mean, it's hard to go in the water because it's always too cold. I mean, the nice thing about the lake is that it swings a little bit more in temperature because it's smaller. So in the summer, it actually gets to a swimmable temperature. It takes a little while. You got to wait till probably July for it to be really comfortable. But it's nice. I mean, the beaches obviously aren't as big. But they're popular. You know, a lot of people go, and it's a good time. Fresh water. No sharks.
No sharks, which is like kind of like down on Cape Cod where I love to go in Massachusetts. I mean, it's really like dictating how you can swim, how you behave at the beach. I don't think that's hyperbole. So honestly, maybe I'll go to the Great Lakes some more. I'm due for a Chicago visit. It sounds lovely.
Have you been to a Great Lake before or no?
I don't think so. No, because I was thinking
wondering.
About no, I because even in New York. No, I don't think so. Because I haven't been to that region of New York State. I haven't been to Ontario before. I might be going soon, which will be fun, but I'm due for a Great Lake visit, and I think going to Chicago might be a good way of doing it, though.
It's a good way.
Great. Okay, well, thank you for giving us a little snapshot into life over in Illinois. I want to get into some of your music here, because as always, the guests bring on a couple songs to share with everybody. The first one I have on the list today is Everything I Love by the great Morgan Wallen. Why'd you choose this one to share on the show?
I'm a big Morgan Wallen fan. He's one of the reasons that I got into country music, and I've been a big country fan for probably 3 years now. I think I really started listening to it this summer. I might have been the fall after, like, the first fall I was here. I don't know why I started listening to it then, but he was a big reason that I got into it. I went to see him in June 23, that sounds right, at Wrigley, which is a terrible concert venue, by the way, for all of its its beauty and grace in the baseball world. It is not the best concert venue, but it was a really, really cool experience to go see him. I mean, the stadium was shaking, which I think is the only time, apart from maybe the Cubs playoff game I went to, I've actually felt that. So Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Great. All right. So this is Everything I Love by Morgan Wallen. Hope you enjoy, everybody.
I wish I would have met you anywhere but where I did. Some old high-rise town that I won't ever go again. I wish we would have rolled around some old cab and chased them city lights. Hit bars I don't like, but we were listening to one more Silver Dollar. Hanging out by Silver Idol down the road I loved to ride. Wish I would have known that by now to my hometown to meet my mama. Now I'm gonna see you every time I see that welcome sign. Wish I would've known about now you'd be good and gone and you'd leave us in a cloud of dust. Can't you see what you're doing, girl? You know damn near everything I love.
Whoa, sorry about that, everybody. I don't know. The sound in here is being a little wonky tonight. Sorry for your ears. But anyways, I hope you enjoyed whatever came before that, which was Everything I Love by Morgan Wallen. A nice country song. I was just talking to Henry during the break. Like, I don't play a lot of country music on here, and that's why I like to bring on guests, because it's a good opportunity to hear some other stuff. And I know Morgan Wallen's big, yep. So
that's probably his best song.
Yeah.
Yep. He has a lot of music that isn't really country. I'll admit that. But that's a better example.
All right. Maybe it's just coming from a casual's perspective. Anyway, it's fall, Henry. It's fall. The leaves are changing. It is truly amazing outside. Like, this is like one of the maybe in like a week or so, but it's really feeling like peak leaf peeping time of year. And I know we both like the outdoors. We're both like, you know, outdoorsy guys. How about right around here? You want to see some good foliage. You're walking outside. You're taking it in. Where do you like to go for that?
What's my range?
Like, yeah. Okay.
How far do I get to go?
Let's start. You know what? This is how we're going to do this. We're going to start around here, like Medford Somerville. Then we're going to like expand out a little bit. And then we're going to expand out to like the entire country. Okay.
Oh, okay.
This is just like everybody, this section is devoted to the outdoors. Okay. We're going to just talk about outside and why we like it, especially at this time of year, which is really nice. How about right around here?
Right around here on campus, I would say, I mean, Preslawn always looks really nice. And just if you go uphill and you get any like shot where you're kind of looking out you have a pretty nice view, I think, of the surrounding area. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't really venture too far off of campus very often. I don't have a car. So, as far as that's concerned, yeah, Prez or just anywhere uphill.
Yeah.
All right. What's my next radius? Like New England or
let's go Massachusetts. Okay. We can go New England. I know you're
okay.
You know,
the Berkshires.
Midwest.
I have been to the Berkshires, but, I went to the Berkshires in the summer. They were pretty, but it wasn't fall foliage.
Yeah.
I don't know if that the question is only about the fall, but
no, it's not. It's not.
Just it's Maine for sure. Maine is really, really pretty.
Maine.
My family, I've been with my family twice or probably three times, but I've been to Acadia twice.
Okay.
Which is a very, very pretty national park.
What do you like about it specifically?
There's some great biking you can do there. You can rent bikes, and there's some really great trails that you can do. We did one this is a long time ago. I think I was in first grade. It was the first time we went.
Sure.
And then a couple summers ago, my mom and I went to Acadia, and we did a really nice bike. Just a lot of really pretty lakes with some mountains surrounding them. It's a very kind of idyllic place.
One of the best sunrises I've ever seen was at Acadia. It was on Cadillac Mountain. I went up there with my family. That was a long time ago now, but I remember that moment specifically over almost everything else. I remember the bike. I remember little things, but that was particularly striking. So did you go to the top of Cadillac?
Yes.
Were you up there?
Yes, we did. Actually,
cool.
The last time we were there, my mom and I were there, and we sat in our car for the whole time because there was a crazy rainstorm.
Oh, really?
Which was a bummer. We didn't go for sunrise, but just the afternoon, it was like a torrential downpour. So that wasn't great, but that whole area is really nice. Bar Harbor is such a cute town. Some great places to eat and get ice cream or whatever there.
It's awesome.
Camden, another really nice town in Maine. It's not by Acadia, but it's on the way if you're coming from here. So
another
worthwhile stop.
Yeah, another beautiful sunrise I saw there as well. The Maine is like most of the greatest sunrises and sunsets I've seen in my life happen to have been in Maine. And I don't think it's a coincidence. You're right. It's like one of the most beautiful places, I think, in the country. Speaking of the country, how about we expand that radius even further now? What about the entire United States?
The entire United States.
If you had to pick one place, outdoorsy, and I think I know the answer.
You do know the answer. It's Glacier National Park in Montana. I'm a Western United States guy. I think it's one of the most beautiful places in the world, and my family has just done a lot of traveling there. My grandparents used to live in Montana, so we'd go out and see them all the time. We've also spent a lot of time in Arizona. I've been to Colorado and Utah. It's just, it's so, so pretty. And we were fortunate enough to go back to Glacier this summer for the first time in a while, and it was amazing.
What was it like to revisit it? Because I know you, how many times have you been there total now?
14.
14?
Not Glacier, but just Montana.
That's even more than I thought. What was it like this time revisiting it? Like, because now you've been obviously a good amount of times. What do you see, what particularly stood out to you this time that didn't the other times?
Well, I think the best thing about Glacier is that it's so vast and it has such an extensive network of hiking trails. It is probably maybe the best place in the world to go hiking.
Yeah.
So whenever we go, we like to find new trails to do. And now that for a lot of the time when we were going, my sister and I were really little, so we couldn't do a lot of the really strenuous hikes. But this time we went and we did an amazing 10-mile hike. And it was a part of the park I had never seen before. And it was, the summit was unbelievable, and it was a point to point. So, you know, you're going up, you see one valley, you go down, you see another. So it's like two entirely different hikes. The summit was outstanding. So I just think there's really no, you never run out of things to do there. There's always more hikes to be taken.
What is that feeling when, this is just a more general question about going on hikes and walking outside. What can you describe that feeling of what it's like? You know, you go on these long hikes and you get to the top of a summit and you get like this payoff view. That's amazing. Describe that feeling, what that's like for you when you pull that off, especially the bigger ones.
It's hard to describe that, but I think the best way I could put it is at the end of this hike, it was called Sayu Pass, if anybody wants to go. But the end of this, or excuse me, the end of the ascent was easily the hardest part of the hike. It was very, very steep, switchback after switchback, but you could kind of get a glimpse of what you knew the summit view was going to be, and I feel like when I got that glimpse, I just kind of took off. Like, the adrenaline just took... I was so excited to get to the top, and I just, like, stopped feeling tired, even though I really was. And I just kept going, and I wanted to get to the top. And if you know me, you know I'm not a cardio guy, so I wouldn't attribute that to my stellar cardiovascular fitness.
All cardio at the gym. But... All cardio. that's amazing. Yeah, and I mean, I've been to Glacier as well, and I can definitely relate to that feeling of, you know, getting to these just incredible views, like, incredible views. Again, you alluded to it, some of the best views arguably in the country for natural life. So thanks for sharing a bit of that we went through a whole journey of different outdoor adventures with Henry on that segment. But I want to get to more music. Good Times, Bad Times by Led Zeppelin. They've been on the show before, but I don't think this specific song. Oh, why this one?
Well, I think, first of all, my dad really likes this song. So this is also the first song on their first album. So I also think if you are ever listening to Led Zeppelin for the drums, this is a great example, because you'll hear it, but John Bonham is the greatest drummer ever, and hopefully this song will show you why.
Yeah, I don't think that's a crazy take. So this is Good Times, Bad Times by Led Zeppelin. Enjoy the ride.
Messing around with another man.
That was Hey Joe by Jimi Hendrix. But before that was Good Times, Bad Times by Led Zeppelin. And I liked it, Henry. I liked it a lot.
Glad you enjoyed
it. I heard the drums. I heard everything that was going on that you were talking about. I hope everyone else out there did too. I had a good time listening to it. But we're about halfway through the show, everybody, which means it is PSA time. And you know what that means. It's an advertisement in the middle of the show, pretty basic. But I have the guest read it out through this giant book of ads that we have sitting in the studio. Henry, what's the PSA today?
All right. Autumn brings some of the most beautiful days of the year to New England. If you haven't been getting all the exercise you should, now is the perfect time to get outside and walk, run, or ride a bike. Use your feet to go places instead of your car. Enjoy the fall colors, breathe the fresh air, reduce stress, and improve your health.
Isn't that, like, perfect to what we were just talking about?
That was pretty topical,
it's like
I have to say.
Spot on. And watch this. I'm also going to relate it to what we're about to talk about. Look, it's paper. It's almost newspapery.
Almost
not
is.
Really. And it's a stack of it. You know what else is a stack of paper and newsworthy and papery? It's a newspaper. It's the Tufts Daily. Henry, you are the executive sports editor at the Tufts Daily at Tufts.
I am indeed.
Look at how did I make that happen? Anyway, let's talk about
Super
you.
Super smooth segue.
tell me a little bit about what that, because so you started out as a columnist. First, can you just chart your journey through the Daily and how you got to this point, and then
so
we'll talk about the rest.
I started writing for the Daily when I was a sophomore. I have a column had a column called Extra Innings. It was about Major League Baseball. And I would just kind of pick a topic every week and riff on it, which I really love to do.
Sure.
I'm a big baseball fan from Chicago. So I grew up, you know, the Cubs were a big part of my life. So I used to play baseball long ago, but I really loved it and I still love to watch it. So that was a good way for me to kind of stay in touch with baseball and with sports in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for 2 years. I wrote
wow.
the column. Last semester, I started down the editing path. I was the deputy sports editor, so that entailed just, you know, performing the jobs of the executive for one day mm-hmm. a week. And now that I am the exec, it's a lot more work than that. It's not just more editing. It certainly is more editing, but it's there's a lot of other stuff too.
What is that other stuff?
Just a lot of administrative things. Scheduling is the big one that I honestly, about half an hour before I was supposed to come here, I realized that I hadn't set on the schedule yet. So I sat down and I fired through that to send out an email because I try to do it on Thursdays.
Sure.
You know, going to meetings, and just kind of being the go-between. Whenever the managing board people are looking at sports articles, I kind of have to be at their beck and call, like to fix stuff that they have issues with or whatever. So my job doesn't end when I'm done editing.
Do you feel like a certain amount of pressure with that comes with that? Like, you know,
being
having this extra expectation of being the executive editor, How has the dynamic shifted between, like, yeah, you were writing a ton and there was kind of some stress and pressure that came with that, from now you're kind of managing a ton? And describe that shift for me a little bit more.
It's definitely stressful. I mean, even at section meetings I've led, I don't always feel 100% comfortable, but this is really the main reason I'm doing this, you know, is to get more comfortable doing things like that, you know, talking to people, making executive decisions, being in a leadership role. But it is more pressure. It is certainly more responsibility. But the good news is that I'm not even close to the head honcho at the paper, and I don't have to have all the answers. I can go to the managing board people if I have any questions. But one thing I didn't anticipate, which I should have anticipated, but I kind of forgot to mention this, was you know, just having to be the point of contact for all the writers. As deputy, that never really happened. I would talk to a writer every now and then, but you know, just as far as not just writing things but scheduling things, I just kind of have to be available. I have to, you know, I just have to be willing to answer all their questions at pretty much all hours of the night, because people will text me and email me really late at night, which they probably shouldn't do if it isn't something urgent. But It happens. So
yeah. So just juggling a lot of different responsibilities. I get that. And for those that don't know, the Tufts Daily office is actually in the basement of this very same building.
There are managing board members down there right now working on tomorrow's production,
working away, and they work deep into the night.
Work very hard.
Very, very hard and late. It's like a full-time job. Major props to them, and major props to the section editors as well. They do a lot. So, and also, yeah, describe that, the community aspect. They call it the daily munity. I know, which is kind of corny. But what has that community been like for you? Stepping up, you know, as an editor this year, how has it changed?
Well, that's been something that has totally changed since becoming the exec. Because, you know, as a columnist, and even as a writer, you know, really the only people you're talking to as a if you're writing about Tufts athletics are the athletes.
Yeah.
And if you're a columnist, you might not talk to anybody at all, except maybe the editor every now and then, and you can always contact them through email. But, you know, when we have exec meetings, we have in-person meetings, we have bonding events. So I've met a lot of new people, which has been really good for me. I don't always like meeting new people, but I know it's good for me, so I try to do it.
Sure.
And a lot of really great people. So that's one of the biggest changes since being the exec, is just finding this whole new community of people that, like, whose names I knew, but I didn't necessarily like know in person. I'd never talked to them.
Yeah, and that's interesting. Yeah, because for me too, like, I also write for the Tufts Daily, but yeah, a lot of the people that I'm interacting with, like, on a week to week basis, I almost never interact with them in person, which is it's kind of crazy when you think about it, that this giant paper, the Tufts Daily, is I think the biggest student organization on this campus.
Probably
I think
true.
So
that's probably true.
You can fact check me on that, but like the Daily, but it is crazy to think about, and it's cool that, you know, you've found this way to extend more into the community. Before we move on from this entire conversation, maybe just looping back a little bit more to your writing days when you were writing more, what would you say is a piece that, I know this might be really hard and you might not have the answer right away, what is a column or a piece that you feel particularly proud of? One that you go back to and say, like, this was my best work, and why is that?
Oddly enough, I might pick the penultimate column that I wrote, which I wrote over the summer.
Okay.
And it wasn't even entirely related to baseball, is the interesting thing. But in addition to being a big baseball fan, I'm a very big hockey fan as well. So I was diligently following the Stanley Cup Finals. And for those of you who know hockey, you know who Connor McDavid is. Oh, yeah. One of the most talented players of all time. And the Oilers, his team, very nearly led a 3-0 comeback in the Stanley Cup Finals. They won games 4, 5, and 6, but lost game 7 by one goal. And McDavid won playoff MVP despite not winning the Stanley Cup, which is very rare.
It's hard.
And all I heard about in the aftermath of that was how he blew it, how he choked. And I didn't like that. And I think this is one of the things that baseball has really right, is that we don't necessarily place a lot of emphasis on, you know, team accomplishments when we're looking at individual, like, legacies. Obviously, the team is the most important thing, and you can totally use playoff performance to evaluate a player. You should. It's important. But McDavid had one of the best playoffs, probably the best playoffs in our lifetime in the NHL. And people are saying it's his fault that they didn't win. And that the fact that he didn't win is going to negatively affect his legacy, which I thought was totally insane, because there's baseball players like Barry Bonds, like Junior, like Ted Williams, these, like Ty Cobb. These guys never won World Series, and no one is like, oh my God, they were such bums because they couldn't win a World Series. Maybe their team just wasn't that good.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. And from I mean, we don't need to go too much into sports. That's on another platform that might be the named Zone Coverage, that I also run a podcast called Zone Coverage. But it's true. There are a lot of scenarios like that where a player maybe gets the credit but doesn't get enough credit because their team didn't perform well.
Right.
And oftentimes in these team-oriented sports, some individual players are so good that, you know, they can get overshadowed by things that aren't always in their control when they're doing everything they can.
Right.
Anyway, I'm rambling on. Thanks for telling us all that. I hope it's going well downstairs at the Daily. Maybe you'll head over there after this. We'll see.
Probably not.
Probably not. But
they told us to stay out. They're doing a deep clean for parents' weekend, so I cannot go downstairs.
All right. So he'll be downstairs next time. But let's get into some more music. Ain't Wasting Time No More by the Allman Brothers Band. Why this one?
Allman Brothers might be my favorite band. I got into them in high school through Ramblin' Man, as everybody who gets into the Allman Brothers does. That's probably their most famous song. And this is off maybe my favorite album ever written, which is Eat a Peach. And the Allman Brothers' famous guitarist, Duane Allman, was killed in a motorcycle accident just before they recorded the song. And the song was written mostly about him. I think it's one of their best songs, even though it doesn't include Duane Allman, obviously. But it was also featured in a Chevy commercial earlier this year, which I totally wasn't expecting. But I heard it and I was like, I want to buy a Chevy now, which I don't think I've said in my life before.
I don't think I've said that either.
That also might be slander. I'm sorry.
No Chevy slander on the radio show. Ain't wasting time no more. The Allman Brothers Band. Hope you enjoy.
For free when you need a bit of to do your dirty work. Oh yeah. I don't want to do your dirty work no more. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah. Upon the door, you have sent the maid home early, like a thousand times before. Like the castle in its corner in a medieval game, I foresee terrible trouble, and I stay here just the same. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah, I don't wanna do your dirty work no more. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah.
Dirty Work by Steely Dan, a classic. Just a classic. I love that song. Before that was Ain't Wasting Time No More, the Allman Brothers. Did that, another great, great song.
Did you enjoy that one?
Yeah, no, I really did. Awesome. I was, you know, the music I've been choosing has been trying to tailor to like the same vibe of the songs that you've been picking. And I think it's working all right so far. So I feel pretty good about this. So before we get out of here, Henry, this is a question that I like to ask basically all my guests, at least if we have time. And it's very open-ended. And we already talked about writing and the daily, which is something that you're passionate about. But I'm just going to open up this question to you for another whole conversation. And that's simply, what are you passionate about?
Well, there are a lot of different ways you could answer this question.
There truly are.
In terms of the things that, I guess what I think about is like, what do I geek out over? Like, what do I really, you know,
sure.
What can I tell people about? What can I talk about, like, ad nauseum? Yeah, sports are definitely one of them. Baseball and probably hockey are up there. But the sport I love to play the most is golf. I think that's what I'm most passionate about in terms of what I still play. I like to watch it too, but I've been playing since I was 8. My grandpa got me into it, and I really love it. Even though I don't always act like it, I do find it relaxing.
Great.
It's just nice to be outside and, you know, kind of just walk for a while and be alone with your thoughts. So really love that. Kind of on that same note, I love traveling, and, you know, where I like to go when I travel is just places where I can do stuff outside. You know, I just think it's really valuable to spend time outside. It's really, and especially at our age when, you know, our bodies are capable of doing amazing things, we should do that. So I love to travel. I love to plan trips. You know that.
Oh,
well.
Oh yeah. Oh, I know.
To be fair, that was really my first time doing that when we went to Ireland.
Yeah.
My dad is the master travel planner in our family. So he's done most of that work. But I like to think about it. I like to think about planning trips.
You're all right too, Henry.
Well, I appreciate
you're
that.
You're pretty good too.
So yeah, just thinking about all the places I can go and actually going to those places is awesome, and seeing, you know, beautiful things.
Cool. That's okay, amazing.
That was a lot of things. But.
No. We can, yeah. And first I'll talk about what you were just talking about with travel. I mean, yeah. That really rings true to me because, I mean, I've mentioned it also ad nauseum on this show about my experience traveling abroad last semester, and that really opened me up to wanting to travel a lot more as well. So that is something I definitely relate to. Golf is super interesting because I always, as someone who doesn't play golf as much, I always am interested to hear why people like it, what they like the most about it, and the aspect of it as being a place that you can, it's almost like an escape in a way too, to just get away from society, get away from all the crap that's going on, and just being out in nature and just hitting a ball. There's something very simple about that, but it's nice, I'm sure.
It's simple, but it's complicated.
It's also complicated.
Concept is simple, but
guys, I don't play golf. I'm sorry. Super complicated, but I think what's simple about it is just being out there alone, sometimes with other people, and just appreciating being in the moment. And that's something I really respect about it.
Yeah, I love to play with other people. Don't get me wrong. I didn't want to say that I try to escape everybody when I get out there. But even when you are playing in a group of people, there's plenty of time where you'll be walking by yourself. And that's another thing. I really like to walk when I can. Mm. You know, a lot of people like to ride the cart, but I think it's a lot more valuable to walk.
Yeah. And no golf slant. I didn't want to slander golf. It's complicated. I know it's complicated, but again, being out there is, I think, the simple thing.
Yeah. It's also a good excuse to spend time with people, you know, just people you wouldn't see otherwise, you know, it's play around a golf, you know?
Excellent. Excellent. Cool, man. Well, thank you for saying that. Thank you for sharing that. We're going to get out of here a little early today, everybody. This is The Spec, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. First of all, Henry, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been lovely. It's been super relaxing talking about nature, talking about sports. It's just been a chill show, and I hope everybody enjoyed the music as well. We have one more song, actually, if you want to just give a little intro to it. It's Sugar Magnolia by The Grateful Dead. Why this one? And then we can get out of here.
Well, my parents are big Grateful Dead fans. Kind of got me into it. I also kind of found them by myself. But they have a lot of good songs. And this one is probably my favorite song off of what is their best album. What was a total snub from the Apple Music Top 100 albums.
Oh.
This is probably one of my top five favorite albums. It's American Beauty.
Yeah.
And Sugar Magnolia is probably my favorite song off of that album.
Yeah,
so.
I'm surprised it didn't get on there either now that I think about it. That's great. And this is a good one to end on. Sugar Magnolia by The Grateful Dead. And thank you so much, everybody, again, for listening, as always. Thursdays, 8 p.m. I'll have another guest on next week that I'll announce on the Instagram. That's @SpecRadio on Instagram. Give it a follow. There's a lot of fun stuff happening on there. Fun theme shows, guests, live music, you name it. It's a fun time. Henry, isn't it a fun time?
It's very fun.
It's a fun time.
A good time.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, thanks again, Henry, for coming on.
Thanks for
having
me.
See everybody next week. Take care.
Sugar Magnolia. Blossoms blooming, heads all empty, and I don't care.
So my baby down by the river
knew she'd have to come up soon for air.
Sweet blossom, come on under the willow. We can have high times if you look by. We can discover the wonders of nature
rolling in the rushes down by the riverside. She's got everything delightful. She's got everything I need. Takes the wheel when I'm seeing double. Pays my ticket when I speak.
She comes skimming through rays of violet. She can wait in a drop of dew. She don't come and I don't follow. Waits backstage while I sing to you. But
where she can dance a Cajun rhythm.
Jump like a Willys in four-wheel drive.
She's a summer love in the spring, fall, and winter.
She can make happy any man alive. Sugar magnolia, ringing that bluebell, caught up in sunlight.
Everything delightful. She's got everything I need. A breeze in the pines in the summer night, moonlight, crazy in the sunlight. Yes, indeed.
Sometimes when the cuckoo's crying, when the moon is halfway down, sometimes when the night is dying, take me out in a wander around.
I've never seen them again. And every man was a child growing up to be wild. Oh, every